Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
On the Boss Man Show with NJIT's head coach Brian Kennedy out of America East now. No more A Sun for them. That travel has to be crazy, coach. Glad to have you on the show, man. Good to talk to you again.
Well, great to be here. I love your show. The Boss Man Show is the best. So thank you so much for having me.
Yes, indeed. Coach, man, ask you about that, man. I know y'all was an A Sun for a while there. You was on the outlier there, man. So now you're in America East, less travel. Schools within your region. Now, tell me about that move for your school, your AAD, and your administration to say, hey, we want to save money on this travel here. We're kind of out of the way from everybody in the A-Sun. Let's go to the American East now.
Yeah, you know, there's so much movement in college athletics. Our time in the A-Sun was great. I loved the A-Sun. You know, some really good basketball. You know, teams like Liberty and Lipscomb and Florida Gulf Coast and North Florida. I mean, just, you know, really, really good basketball. Kennesaw State, you know, those were Jacksonville teams that were been there for a while. Great coaches, great administrators. So administration, but the America East presented an opportunity for us, and especially for our overall athletic department to be able to, you know, to be able to fit in a Northeast corridor with like institutions. And it just made a lot of sense from a logistical standpoint. But, you know, we're really happy to be there. The America East is a great conference, really good basketball conference. But we loved our time in the A-Sun for sure.
No doubt, coach. 8-6 on the year, coach. 3-1 A-Sun in play. Took a tough game last night there, man. But tell me about seeing your guys overall play hard, shorthanded, but still compete. You know, you got some foul trouble with Miles there, but besides that, man, just knowing you got to compete hard no matter what, even though you didn't have your full roster that you wanted to have.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we thought we were past this COVID thing, and all of a sudden it hits. You know, we had some early preseason injuries, and we're just starting to get into a real good rhythm, and played on Saturday, got back Sunday, went to practice on Monday. We get one dude that goes, that not feeling well, you know, trainer tests him, he's positive, Next thing you know, we're in the middle of practice, we're down four players and two coaches. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, you just guys got to be that next man up mentality. And you got to go out there and you got to fight and you got to compete. So, you know, it wasn't the outcome that we wanted. We got in some early foul trouble, some turnovers, but it gave us a good opportunity to get some guys who don't normally get a lot of minutes to get some, you know, get some minutes under their belt. And hopefully that helps us down the line at the end of the year.
Most definitely, coach. Like you said, man, some guys, it's also a testament to guys staying ready because, you know, you never know, especially with COVID now, it used to be injuries. Now it's, you never know each day if you don't get a test or a guy say don't feel well. And that's two or three guys on the roster. So you got to be prepared, stay locked in no matter what. Hope that your guys see that now. Hey, I got to be ready no matter what because I could get called upon if this thing keeps doing what it's doing.
No doubt. And that's across the country. It's a great lesson for kids to learn, you know. And sometimes it's not until the reality that they like, oh, damn. You know, I didn't think I was going to play tonight. All of a sudden you're playing, you know, 30 minutes. So, but it is a great opportunity for the guys that are fighting and stuff. Like I tell my guys, hey, man, you know, you want to work so hard and play so well in practice that I'm forced to play you. And all you can do is, you know, control the things that you can control. Don't worry about stuff you can't control. When it's your time, you know, when your number's called, be ready to go. But anyway, a lot of credit to UMBC. Jim Ferry did a nice job last night. You know, but we'll still fight. That's you know, our DNA at NJIT is defense, rebounding, and fight. So, you know, while it wasn't there last night, we'll get back to it.
No, Derek, Coach Meskis, now down up your way, they take it more seriously than COVID up than at least they do than down here in the South in Georgia. We was unclosed for 3 weeks pretty much last year. Okay. But so how are you trying to tell your guys who got to kind of experience being a student again, being around their friends again, have to, hey, close circles again, on go to your apartment and come and go to class, come to practice. And so how has it been trying to be disciplined once more like they were last year? Because this thing is out of control. You never know who may have it. You have to kind of assume everybody has it until proven otherwise.
Yeah. I'm no doctor, but I'm starting to think that nobody really has the answers out there. And, for our guy, it's so mental for the student athletes, what they went through last year. Our leading scorer, Miles Coleman out of West Palm Beach, Florida, he was in 42 days of isolation last year, and then all of a sudden, it's back. So I can't tell you the mental toll that it has on these kids. I can only imagine what it is. And, you're trying to get them, like you said, you want to get them back into that mindset of closing your gap and taking all the precautions and everything. But man, mentally, everybody's going through it in the country. So, it's not, we're not unique, but it does present a lot of problems. And up here, it's a lot different, there's a lot of strict quarantine and strict rules and issues, and you just got to fight through it. That's all you can do, and try and do the best you can mentally. But man, my heart goes out to these kids across the country that are dealing with this.
Most definitely, Coach. Like you see, for me, I'm a guy in my 30s. I'm a little older than your players are. But for me, like, I can't do how you wish to do. So I have to think about my father, who's 81 years old. I can't kill my dad, with this thing. So I've shut down what I used to want to go do. I don't go out to bars anymore. I don't have a father who's older with issues. I don't want to kill him because I've made a poor decision, So just for me, yeah, having to make sure everything I do, I'm thinking about my father and myself at the same time.
No doubt. And when you're on a college campus, you got to think of the campus community, everybody that's on campus and so forth. And, athletes, probably are a little more disciplined in what they do and their approach. And sometimes they see what's going on out there and they get upset. They're like, we're doing our deal. We're doing what we're supposed to do. But, sometimes, at different campuses and stuff, you see things happen and they get upset with that. But, knock on wood, boss man, that we get through this. And it's like, we get through this. Hopefully it's not a long, drawn out thing and we can get back to, normalcy out there.
And Coach, I like how you did your schedule this year, Coach, doing the non-conference, because you compete against quality opponents with different styles of play that help you prepare for the American East. Vermont's always tough in the American East, don't it? Regardless, guys are always tough. So seeing all different styles earlier in the year, as you get ready to go to this stretch of January, February, and March here, how important is it to make sure your guys got the taste of what they may see down the road?
Yeah, definitely, boss man. You want to prepare. You want to have a great non-conference schedule. Everybody does. But the reality of it is you got to get ready for your league. League is, at our level, is what matters most. One bid league, you got to be ready for it. And, the more diversity you can get in your non-conference schedule, the better teams you can play, only helps prepare you. So we were lucky we got a chance to play, a really good Rutgers team. Where we're up at half, second half, Ron Harper Jr. and Geo Baker got us in the second half. They really played up to their potential. Then at St. John's, we did a really nice job. We had a chance to win that game in regulation. Missed a little chippy inside, went to overtime. But their pressing style that they play, and they really come after you, that was really good preparation for us. And then playing a team like Northwestern out at their place, Coach Collins doing a good job this year. Good solid team, really good solid half-court team. They run great half-court offense. So, we're just looking to prepare our guys the best we could for the America East play.
And Coach, I like that you got live reps playing close games, because, you can put time on the clock and practice, but not the same intensity, not the same kind of vigor, same need to execute. So I feel like playing close games against other opponents live and in person is prepared, give you guys that callus to prepare for those tough games coming in February and March when it counts the most in the America East tournament, if you get that far right there.
Definitely, no question, it's one thing to talk about playing Posh Alexander, but when you're in St. John's and you're at Lou Carnesecca Arena and Posh Alexander's, in your jock for 40 minutes, and you got Julian Compagnie and all those players, it only helps prepare you for the future, And You know, and I, my biggest thing is I want to see how we respond. I want to see how my guys respond. And, you know, I love their response all year long, you know, all year long about stepping up to the challenge and not backing down and fighting, you know, fight, just get out there and fight, you know. And I really, really, you know, I was really proud of our what we did in the non-conference schedule.
And Dylan O'Hearn, coach, is doing a great job for 60 plus a game for you guys, setting the table for you offensively, opening things up for the guys like Miles and Side. They talk about how important Dylan is to what you guys do every night.
Dylan's so important to what we do. He had a 42-point game earlier this year. Really, you know, unbelievable score. I'm trying to get him to be more of a all-around player defensively, and he's really stepped up to the challenge. And Dylan can play a number of different positions. He's best when he lets the game come to him, and he's in the flow of the game. A terrific, you know, terrific one-on-one player, can really shoot the three. And, you know, he's getting so much better on the defense end. Really good on-the-ball defender. You know, he's working on his off-the-ball defense as well. But just a pleasure to have him. A kid out of Romulus, Michigan, by way of Ontario. Went out to junior college, got overlooked by everybody. Went to prep school first, then went to junior college, got overlooked by everybody. And, you know, we were lucky enough to find what I consider a diamond in the rough out there at Northern Oklahoma Junior College. So we're so happy with it.
And, Coach, I love Miles Coleman as well, man, affecting the game defensively, offensively. He does multiple things on the court. He wins for you with the intangibles, what I like about the young man, and the fact that he, you know, this guy can make plays for you by scoring the ball all the time. He just make things happen for you. Because sometimes making a play is defensively, too. Getting the rebounds is making a play. That is scoring points. A lot of fans don't see it that way, but those little small things you don't really notice in the stat sheet, but when you watch the game, counts to making a winning play to win a game.
No doubt. And, you know, he's Miles is a mismatch nightmare. You know, he can take bigger players out in the perimeter. He takes smaller players in the post. He's really concentrating on his rebounding, which has been great all year, you know, sans last night. But, you know, Miles has really bought into, you know, becoming a more complete player, defensively. You know, he wants to go on and play at the next level, whether it's, you know, in Europe or wherever. You know, and that's one of the things that he's going to have to do as a three man, you know, defend a perimeter, but really understand the game and understand his mismatch. So when he's got a smaller guy, get in the post, you know, don't be hard headed and try and beat him off the dribble, get in the post and do your work. You know, when you get a bigger guy, take him outside. And he's not only understanding it, but his teammates are understanding, you know, to put him in the best position to be successful as well. So, but just a really great kid out of West Palm Beach, really hard worker. And we talk a lot. His best attribute is probably also his worst attribute, which happens with all of us. So he's such a competitor. Sometimes he gets his emotions too high, you know. But that's also what fuels him to be such a competitor. So, but, you know, Miles has been great for us. Two-time, you know, America East Player of the Week. So just really happy he's on our side.
And I love that you got four guys, coach, over 30% from downtown. So that's very key overall things for Miles on the inside. He wants to go inside doing the post. So talk about having guys and skill development where their shooting is so important. Having four guys shoot over 30% is definitely good at your level for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And we have a couple big guys that could stretch the floor. And Matt Faw, a graduate transfer out of Holy Cross, really, really terrific outside shooter at 6'9". Kel DeGraff, kid from Rotterdam, Netherlands, can stretch the floor as well. And then we have two guards that just, you know, it's hard to, I got a guard out of Philadelphia. His name's Antoine Booty Butler, who's just been, you know, brought up from, you know, basically from the crib to be that point guard, to be that leader, makes all the intangible plays, tough kid. He's Philly tough. You know, I just love coaching him. And then I got a kid out of Baltimore by the name of James Lee, who's just a junkyard dog. You know, people say, well, what position is he? Point guard, two guys. I don't know. He's just a basketball player and he fills up the stats. And he's, you know, in my opinion, humble opinion, if he's not the top defender in America East, he's definitely one of the top, you know, five defenders in America East, long, athletic. So, you know, we're not that aesthetic team where you have the perfect point guard, the perfect two guard, the perfect three. We just make it work. And, you know, we just got to have that fight and that Newark toughness in us. Brick City toughness that we like to we like to preach, and we didn't have it last night. So as a coach, you know, I didn't sleep much last night trying to figure it out, but we'll get it back.
No doubt. That's what I for you, coaches, man. Albany, Dwayne Killens coming up here next for you guys. He's doing a great job in his first year up there, man. So tell me about that triple C for them guys on film so far.
You know, again, hard playing team, tough playing team. Dwayne's doing a great job. First year coach. Got him really, really excited, really playing hard. You know, their best player, Perry, didn't play well last night, yet they still came out with the victory. So that just shows you everybody else is stepping up. They have a great point guard in Horton who we faced last year. So we know it's going to be a battle. It's always a battle up there at Albany. And, you know, again, hats off to Dwayne. He's doing a great job. Coach Kelly's doing a good job up there. So I will say this about overall about the American East, a really well-coached conference, really well-coached conference from top to bottom.
Oh, definitely, coach. It's always a tough game out there every night. It's no easy night, no matter who you're playing. It's always a battle because y'all recruiting the same kids. The kids know each other from playing AAU balls. So it's like it's always a battle up there because all the guys know each other up there, man.
No doubt, no doubt. Even last night, you know, the Baltimore kids, we all cross recruit each other and know all of them. And Shonda Rogers, it's a battle. It's a battle, no doubt.
Hey, coaches, before I catch up with you again, coach, best luck to you, man, and be safe. We'll just do it again real soon, coach. All right, man.
Boss, man, thank you so much, man. Thank you for having me on the show. It's always great. Anytime you need me, I'm here for you. I love your show. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, coach. Thank you. Same. Be safe, brother. See you soon, man.
Be good.
All right, now.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.